Alright, y'all. We are back again with our last episode for the series of Hills and Valleys. Glory be to God. And this one is about guilt and shame leading to addiction. What do you mean? Check this, right? There are two types of guilt. The one that leads to conviction, and there's the one that leads to condemnation. And there are two types of shame. The type of shame that leads to righteous living, or the type of shame that leads to low self-esteem. And a combination of the wrong kind of guilt and the wrong kind of shame can cause an addiction to worldly substances and or characteristics. And I'm going to tell you what I mean right after we pray. So, get into prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name that through you, we have overcome all things. And that by you, we are overcomers of the things of this world. Because nothing has a hold on us and over us. Because we have overcome the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life through you and by you. Glory be to God. We thank you that the things that the devil tries to use to cause us to deter from you and to hide from you and to run from you are the things that you use to convict us, to bring us closer to you and to draw us nearer to you, because you love us and therefore you do not condemn us, and because you love us you do not cause us to have low self-esteem, and because you love us you build us up, Lord God Almighty. You build us up and you transform us through your word and through your teachings and through your life and through the Holy Spirit. So we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. All right, y'all. So, let's get into it. Now, in a previous episode, I had said that for every God thing, there's a counterfeit. Meaning, there's a God thing, and then there's the world thing. And we all know that the ruler of the world is the devil, because God rules and owns the universe, right? Glory be to God. And so, a combination of the guilt that leads to conviction and the shame that causes us to live righteously erases all the previous traces of guilt and shame in its entirety, because God doesn't want us living in condemnation. But he wants us to be convicted in the spirit and to live righteously in and through him, which in turn builds and transforms our being for the better, as opposed to low self-esteem, which brings about self-sabotage and destruction. But the reality of self-sabotage and self-destruction is the fact that it isn't us, but it's the devil working through these soul holes. Yes, I call them soul holes. That only Jesus can fill and fix, right? Now, let's talk about addiction real quick. I'm going to, lead you guys with some verses, so just do me a favor and open your Bible app. When you open your Bible app, I want you guys to go to Proverbs 23, right? And you're definitely going to need a translation for this, because I use the translation, and I'm going to let you guys know which one, right? So when you go to Proverbs chapter 23, go to verses 20 and 21 and read with me, which it says, right? Don't eat too much. Don't drink too much wine and get drunk, right? Don't eat too much food and get fat. Gluttons, I don't know how to say it, will end up on skid row in a stupor and dressed in rags. That's the Message version translation. And the Amplified version translation says, do not associate with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and the drowsiness of overindulgence will clothe one with rags. Right? Now, what does that mean? It means that when we See, because the Bible says, let me actually make sure. Because the saying that bad company corrupts good character. The saying that bad company corrupts good character did not come from the Bible. Nonetheless, though, it does make sense, because when you go ahead and you mix with heavy wine drinkers and gluttonous people, you start to become like them, right? At first, you might start drinking only a little bit and a little bit and only eating while you're drunk a little bit. Nonetheless, though, here's the thing, right? The state of intoxication increases our appetite. I'm not sure if you have ever been really wasted or ever gotten to a point where you're really drunk and then you get hungry, but you have an increased appetite. And when you smoke, you end up with what they call the munchies, which is an increased appetite. And in the state of having the munchies, you can literally eat about 3 to 5 meals. Like, I'm talking including the snacks and the dessert and everything else, right? This is why it says, for the glutton and the drunkard will come to poverty and drowsiness. In the translated version, we saw, in the amplified version, we saw it says, the drowsiness, which is of overindulgence, will clothe a man with rags. Meaning when you overindulge, you overspend. And when you're overspending, you're not being a good steward of your funds. And when you're not being a good steward, a stewardess of your funds, and, you know, using what God blessed you with in the right way, you end up not yielding profitable results and more. You feel me? Okay. So now, we're not done with Proverbs 23. Because I need you guys to go to verses 29 and read through from 29 to 35 in the Message version, right? The Message version says, who are the people, excuse me, who are the people who are always crying the blues? Who do you know who reeks of self-pity? Who keeps getting beaten up for no reason at all? Whose eyes are blurry and bloodshot? It's those who spend the night with a bottle, for whom drinking is serious business. Do not judge wine by its label or its bouquet or its full-bodied flavor. Judge it rather by the hangover it leaves you with, the splitting headache, the queasy stomach. Do you really prefer seeing double with your speech all slurred, reeling and seasick, drunk as a sailor? They hit me, you'll say, but it didn't hurt. They beat on me, but I didn't feel a thing. When I'm sober enough to manage it, bring me another drink. And in the NKJV version, verse 35 goes, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? So now, by the time you're going to sleep, the last thought on your mind is literally when you're going to get up so you can drink again. Because at this point, you're worn out from the drinking that you've already done, which is detrimental to your health and being and your state of mind, as we've already seen in Proverbs 23. I do urge you and implore you to seriously read through this chapter, though, and ask God for wisdom and understanding that you may be able to properly grasp the content and the context in relation to your life and how you can apply the things that you need to apply to your life to be a better person overall, right? Now, the next verse I want us to take a look at is going to be Galatians 5:1. In Galatians 5:1, it reads, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. See, now, when you have accepted Christ in your life, you've been baptized by the Spirit and by the water, right? You have become free because you're a new creation in Christ, right? And you're made free. And therefore, granted, if you already have had a dealing with indulgence or overindulgence in the things of this world, like drinking and partying and sex culture and everything else, right? It's definitely going to take some time for us to be reeled off of that. Nonetheless, though, it has to do with the willingness and the posture of your heart and your mind. Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to be done with that? Are you willing to let God be God in your life and renew you and fully transform you? Are you willing? Are you ready? Because you have to be willing. And if you wait until you're ready, then you won't ever be ready. So you have to be willing. And you have to actively work the process of submission and surrender. Because it says to us to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Meaning that do not go back to the things that God has freed you from. We are instructed to not go back to the things that God has freed us from. Because it's like a dog going back to its vomit. I realize you can imagine that, and it's very disgusting when you think about it, because ew, why would anybody like, it makes me want to throw up. I can't even, I'm all right, right? So then, and in Philippians 4:13, it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, which means that through Christ, you're able to let go. You are more than able. You are capable. You have conquered whatever it is that you may be currently dealing with. It's only in the physical. But the moment, the minute, the very second you have made it up in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit to let God deal with those things and you choose to abstain, right? He begins to give you, you ask him for the strength and he begins to get through and work with you on it. Because every time you're tempted to, here's something I've learned from NA, right? They say when the thoughts come into your head to use or whatever, right? Especially when you're just fresh to recovery, especially when you're on day one and it's just for today. They tell you to say, not right now. The moment it comes in your head, oh, I'm about to go drink, let me go smoke, let me go do this, think to yourself, actually, I'm not doing that right now. Every time it comes in, say not right now, until it gets to the point where you can willingly and actively, you know, be like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm good. No, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't desire that. And I promise you, by God and by his grace and by his will and because of his love for us, there is no way we cannot and will not be free from the desire to abuse ourselves, because that's what it is. We're abusing ourselves. Yes, the flesh might like it and it feels good to the flesh until it starts to deteriorate the flesh, because the things of the world are literally for only a limited time. It's only for a limited time. It feels good until it doesn't. It works until it doesn't. It numbs until it doesn't. It pleases until it doesn't. It helps until it doesn't. There is always an until it doesn't with the things of the world. Right? And so from Philippians 4:13, just go with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, we're told that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. Meaning that not necessarily everybody, because there are people that haven't dealt with it on the scale and level as like, well, they might have. But the thing with an addict is an addict usually gives in. Someone that's having addiction issues usually ends up giving in, right? To the desire. And there are people that abstain, they consistently come against it with no, 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 no. And no is a definite answer. No is a final sentence. No is a sentence in itself. There doesn't have to be a because after. So now, we're told that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may also be able to bear it. So you would ever be in a situation where you're tempted to abuse yourself without God creating the route for you to let go of that desire, to shun that desire, right? We're to shun the desire, we're to flee from the desire, we're to rebuke it honestly, because at the end of the day, it is not the will of God for our bodies, our mortal bodies, to be diseased. Like, I'm not talking about dead, or I'm talking about diseased. Because our body is the temple of the Lord, and in us, His Spirit dwells. So much as we dwell in Him. So He will always make a way out for us. And from there, let me take you to the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, verse 41. In Matthew 26, verse 41, right? It says to us that we are to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. Because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. This is why I said, you may be willing to not do it. Nonetheless, though, you might still end up giving in. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And especially because that is who and what you have nurtured all this time and given into all this time. You barely let your spirit grow. You barely let your spirit flourish. You barely let your spirit eat. So therefore, when you've been serving your flesh all this time, right, it has led you to a state where you are more than likely to give in, which is why you have to stay in the spirit. When it says to watch and pray, you're staying in the spirit. You're in a constant state of spirituality, right? Because you are praying. You may not be praying out loud, but you're praying in your mind and you're praying in your heart. Lord, lead me not into temptation. 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 Lord, keep me from temptation. Keep me from temptation. Keep me from succumbing to temptation. Glory be to God. Because every day that we live, we are faced with temptation in ourselves and around us. Because sometimes our mind is still, well, not our mind, because the devil is able, the devil and his demons are able to put thoughts in our head, and sometimes they use the people around us to get those thoughts and ideas across, and other times it's just like billboard signs or just things that we see while we're outside with our physical eyes, the lust of the eyes connecting with the lust of the flesh, right? And so I'm going to take you guys back to Galatians 5:19. In Galatians 5:19, it says that now the works of the flesh, now it's telling us what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. I'm going to skip 20 and go straight into 21, verse 21, because you know it's a continuation. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because instead of serving the flesh and focusing on the flesh, right, we're supposed to serve God and focus on growing in God and growing in our relationship with Him by His grace and by His mercy. We're supposed to take into account His grace and His mercy, to the fact that we're still able to live to see another day, to breathe the air that He has put, to just be able to see with our eyes and hear with our ears, and to be able to speak and breathe and be in good health. Because at the end of the day, right, when we keep our focus on the kingdom of God, Once we start taking away our attention from the things of the world, the devil is upset. Yes, hence why the temptations increase and the attacks on your mind may increase and the attacks on your spirit increase and the urges of your flesh will increase as well. Which is why we have to stay in the spirit and watch and pray. Right? Now, when it comes to self-sabotage and self-destruction, I already told you guys that the fact of the matter is that it isn't us, but the devil working through these gaps in our soul that only Jesus fills and fixes, right? So go with me to the book of Romans, and in Romans 7 verse 20, it says that, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Right? But sin that dwells in me. And verse 7:22 says that, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Who is the inward man? The inward man is your spirit, right? Which is why there are things that you will not to do. And the things you will not to do are the things of the flesh. Which then proves that evil is present with you, not within you. Because you, your spirit, wills to do good. So evil is present with you, influencing you, because you end up doing the things that you will not to do. Going against you, the one who wills to do good. Because your spirit delights in the law of God according to the inward man. And then, verse 23, when you read that, my understanding of verse 23 is that the members of our body war against our mind. Because mind you, we will not to do these things. Nonetheless, though, because of sin, which is in our body, we are brought under captivity and caused and led to deal with these things and do the things which we will not to do. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, we are to submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from us. Now, when I said that, when it comes to temptation, we're to resist it and rebuke it. Because at the end of the day, the thought will not be recurring. It may be recurring for a moment in time. It may be recurring. Like you say, not right now. You might get it again in the next 3 to 5 minutes, right? You say, not right now. You may get it again in the next 5 to 7 minutes. You say, not right now. You may get it again in the next 7 to 12 minutes. You say, not right now. You may get it in the next 12 to 13 minutes or 12 to 15 minutes. You say, not right now. You may, the next time you're going to get it is 15 to 30 minutes. You say not right now. You may get this again in 30 to 45 minutes. You say not right now, 45 minutes to an hour. You say not right now. You keep going, right? For as long as you need to, for it to not be as recurring as it is. Because when we submit to God and you ask God for strength to keep you going, to keep you from falling into temptation, to keep you from succumbing. And that way, you are resisting the devil. And the devil has no choice, especially when you call on the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Especially when you call on Jesus. He has no choice but to flee from you. Right? And so, with that, let me take you to Galatians 5:16. Because in Galatians 5:16, there's another gem that we have. And it reads, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing that you wish. And in verse 18 it says, but if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Meaning that you are not under the captivity of sin. Because Again, in Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, your flesh has no choice but to listen, right, and obey. And when you have that control, because it's by God's grace, right, and then you are now charged with the responsibility to keep going and moving in the Spirit and reducing the flesh to nothing. Meaning that, what does that look like? Well, when it comes to reducing the flesh to nothing, you are not feeding the flesh the things of the world that it so desires and causes you to crave, right? You're not partying, you're not drinking, you're not overindulging, you're not overeating, you're not overworking out, because that too can become something, because one thing is the flesh is addicted to pain as well. So it'll cause you to bring upon yourself more pain than has already been, like, you know, already than you've already experienced. Now, so with that, when we walk in the Spirit and drown out the flesh, right? The devil has no way to work. There is no way for him to work through to get to us and in us, in our minds, and to influence our spirit. Not even by the people that he places around us, because we can see through that and we can be like, why? Well, this is just an attack on my mind and my spirit, trying to cause me to resort to the flesh. And mind you, we had already been instructed to not go back to the things that we've been freed from by God. Right? Cool. Now, from there, let's go to John 8:35. In John 8:35, right? This is a gem. John 8:35 reads that, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Now, check this, right? In is what it says, it's what it says. Because, glory be to God. Because in John 8:34, the verse before that one says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Now, the way I want you guys to see this is, look at sin as the slave, right? And in order to not be the slave of sin, we have to walk in the Spirit. Sin is a slave because your spirit man, your spirit being dwells in you. And sin comes to just destruct. It's like the devil, because it is from the devil. So it seeks to kill, steal, and destroy your flesh. To destroy your spirit, I mean. Glory be to God. To destroy your spirit. But the minute that you start to walk in the Spirit, and you start to watch, and you start to pray, sin becomes something that has to serve you. Because for when I am weak, then I am strong, right? Meaning that you're abstaining from these things of the flesh. And as you're abstaining from these things of the flesh, you can glory in the Lord God Almighty, and you can testify and bring others through Christ, through the word of your testimony, because you have overcome by the Spirit and by the grace of God. You can win. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God, let it be your will that every person under the sound of my voice overcomes the things of the flesh and begins to walk and see and speak in the Spirit and from the Spirit by your grace and by your mercy and by your will, O Lord God Almighty, because you came not to condemn us, Lord Jesus, but you came to save the world, that the world might be saved through you. Hallelujah. You overcame sin, you overcame death, and you overcame the grave, that we may be able, that we may be able to live abundantly in and through you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that we are no longer slaves of sin or slaves to sin, but because we are your children and you dwell in us and we dwell in you, Lord God Almighty, that we have overcome sin, that we have overcome the flesh, and we have brought the flesh into full submission to you, and we have brought our hearts and minds into full submission to you, that you may search our hearts and know our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you transform it, Lord. That you transform us from within, from inside out, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Jesus. For it is better to suffer the things of this world than to suffer because of the things of this world. For your glory. For your glory, Lord God Almighty. All for your glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you and we praise your holy name. Mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. All right, y'all. So in Romans 6:12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Right? And this is why in John 8:34, it says, that whoever sins has become a slave to sin, because now sin begins to, you know, increase itself, which is why in Romans 6:12 we're instructed to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Rid your flesh of the things of this world. Deny your flesh. If when it comes to alcoholism, right, what I've learned is that the hangover that you get the next day is your body withdrawing, is your body having withdrawals from the alcohol, which is why people say, oh, you know, taking a shot in the morning would help, or like, you know, something would help, right? But it really doesn't. Well, the shot thing might help because it's your body withdrawing. Is that you're going through a withdrawal from the alcohol. So when you give it that, it feels better until it doesn't. You see? Which is why we're instructed to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, to rid our flesh of the things of this world and deny our flesh of the things of this world, to not overindulge, to not even indulge, to do everything in moderation. Now, personally, I would urge you and implore you to completely abstain, because when in doubt, the best thing for you to do is completely abstain from it. And I personally won't ever believe that I am able to handle drinking or indulge in smoking, because that is the devil trying to get you to fall into a trap that he has set to get you to succumb. But glory be to God, because we walk in the Spirit and we live by the Spirit of God and by His grace and by His revelations, we can see through, and we see through the devil and his tactics. So you guys, living righteous is God's will for us, because when we live in the Spirit, right? Check this. When we live in the Spirit, in Romans 6:12, we're told, glorify God in body and spirit. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What does this mean? What does this mean? As we live righteously, as we live in God, right, through Christ, all things have been made lawful for us. Yes, you may drink a little in moderation. Yes, you may, I don't know. That's really the only example I have. But all things are not helpful, meaning what does drinking help you really accomplish? What is it helping you accomplish that you cannot do through Christ without the substance from the world, right? And granted, for people that are able to do these things in moderation and socially, right? All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Because in Christ and by Christ, we have the victory over everything. Which is why when addicts have a relapse, when recovering, when people living in recovery relapse, right? When children of God living in recovery relapse, glory be to God, hallelujah. They are able to get back up. They're able to get back up and continue living sober. Because a righteous man might fall 7 times, but they will always rise up. And then, in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Which means that without the will of God, without Jesus in us, without Jesus in our lives, we have been brought under the captivity of sin. But because he died for us, he made it possible for us to overcome sin. Because he did it in the flesh, meaning that we are able to once we bring him into it. Because in him and by him, all things are possible. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And in him and through him, we are prosperous. God is great, man. God is the greatest. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. So you guys, with that, I have brought this series to conclusion and this episode to an end. And the last thing I need to say to you guys is that, first things first, God is able to do everything he says in his word. And when you read through his word, every single letter, every single word from the Holy Bible, from the book, is his word, and he is faithful that he will stand by it. God is faithful to complete the things that he has started in you and is faithful to do them until he returns. And by the time Jesus returns, we will be with him. Because we are already in him and he is already with us. We have been blessed with the Holy Spirit. Nonetheless, we will get to be with our Savior in the physical. In the spirit and in the physical, both aligned in Jesus' name. And we will be able to glorify him and see him face to face. And y'all, all you really have to do, all you ever have to do is say yes. Give Jesus your yes. Give him your hand and your yes and your life. Invite him in and watch him deal with you mercifully and work in you and through you. With that, I just want to say I love you and Jesus loves you more. Have a blessed time. Stay a blessing and be blessed always. Until next time. Ciao.